So good to have you listening or viewing the message today. I wish it was a worship service. I wish we were all here together. You know, I just reflect on these things a lot. You probably are tired of hearing me sound like a broken record. But I just realize I receive energy, not only from the Holy Spirit that's working through me. Without Him, I would be nothing. But also from your presence and your eyes, and looking into your faces, and just seeing you as individual people, and the love we share together in Christ, and knowing how much we miss one another, and I miss you, and I hope you miss me in the church and worship together. We long for the day that we have that again. That's something that really shouldn't be denied us. But we won't get into that or go there. We just want to say thank you for watching and viewing. Just know that you're loved. I pray for you every day. I pray for our congregation. I pray for every member, every household. I visualize so many. I can look out at the empty pews this morning and really visualize so many of you by face where you sit. That's one good result from our territorial habit of sitting in the same place again and again and again at the same time. That helps me visualize you present right here. So anyway, God bless you. We have a beautiful day. This is January 17th, and just looking forward to just sharing with you a little bit of the Word of God today and what God has laid on my heart. So with that, let's begin with prayer. Okay? Dear God in heaven, thank you for those watching and listening today. Thank you for the incredible privilege I have to stand here in this platform, in this beautiful sanctuary, as this church is pastored to share the Word of God. And a message I pray will be of encouragement, comfort, help, support for anyone and everyone who listens to this message today. And watches it, Lord. So God bless every person, every household, all of our congregation. We pray for our nation. This is an incredibly critical week, as every week and month now is critical and always really has been. But we hold up our nation to you and all the people. Our people is the nation. It is our Constitution. And Lord, we just pray. And we know that you are working your eternal plan. So God, we trust you. We submit ourselves to you, to your perfect will and your control of our lives and our society and our community. I pray for those that are sick or ill, that are still fighting the pandemic. God, help them. God, heal them. God, be with them. And God, I pray for all those who are grieving and suffering loss today. God, bless their lives, encourage and strengthen them as only you can. And we pray all this. Now, Father, be with me as I share this message today, and we pray it will be you would accomplish your purpose and will to your glory and to the good of those who receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so today we're going to get back into the Sermon on the Mount. Actually, we did that last week. Give you that mandate for the new year, for 2021. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We've got to remember that every week. That will kind of be our mantra, if you will. Not sure I like that word, but that's what we're going to, something we remember, those verses in Matthew. So God bless you, and remember those as we continue. Dennis is going to turn on some lights for us. Maybe it's a little dark, but that's okay. So today we're going to get back into the final beatitude. The final beatitude is not a pleasant beatitude. We've come through many beatitudes. All eight of them were uplifting. They were encouraging. They were supportive. This one is too, really. But it really is a kind of a warning as well as an instruction. But we're still blessed if we understand it, if we heed it, if we incorporate it into our lives. It's about persecution. Persecution is going to happen to any Christian who strives in their life to be consistent and conscientious follower of Jesus Christ, we're going to be persecuted in some way, in some degree. So today I want to read for us that last beatitude in Matthew chapter 5, verses, well, we start with verse 10 and 11 and 12. Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice that the end of the Beatitudes, the result concludes with how they began. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So in this Beatitude, really like all of them, we will know that we are receiving, we are entering, we are abiding, and we are experiencing the kingdom of heaven in our lives. And as we walk on this earth, if this applies, if this is incorporated to our life, we realize our spiritual poverty, when we mourn because we're lost without Christ, when we realize what God has given, we're humbled and meek. And when we experience His forgiveness, we become hungry and thirsty for His righteousness. And the more we are filled with His righteousness, the more we'll live in His righteousness, seeking to be merciful to all around us, seeking to be peacemakers wherever God leads us, knowing that God will create in us a pure heart, and we shall see Him and His presence all around us. And the result will be blessing and being blessed, but also persecution. Persecution. Jesus goes on to explain more detail about this beatitude. Blessed are, verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, because of Jesus. You say, when they do that to you, because you're a follower of mine, because you identify as a follower, a disciple, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Result, rejoice and be glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And I also add, they persecuted Jesus as well in his life. So two key phrases I want to begin with as we understand what it means to be persecuted, as we understand this beatitude and how we are to live it out in our lives faithfully in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The why. Why are we being persecuted? Jesus explains that to us. He says, because, first of all, two reasons. One, first, because of righteousness. Because of righteousness. So when, here's the deal. When we began at any time, to any degree, to live righteously in Christ, to let Christ live in His righteousness through us, and that's manifested in our daily lives, activities, decisions, attitudes, relationships, when we live in righteousness, some people are going to be threatened by that. It's just a kind of ironic, unfortunate, crazy kind of response that we encounter in a lost and fallen world with unfortunately lost and fallen people. When we strive to live our lives in righteousness, it's going to cause a reaction in some persons, not everyone, but in some persons who have no regard for or who have no clue or concept of what it means to live righteously. They're threatened by that. They don't understand that. There's a misconception. Some people are going to be offended, believe it or not, how ironic this is. They will be offended by our righteousness, by our seeking to live righteously, especially if we come immediately out of a context of unrighteousness and we begin to relate to those folks who we were a part of their lives in unrighteousness and now we're seeking to be righteous. Some of them are going to push back. Some are going to be threatened. Some are not going to believe. Some are going to throw doubt at us. Some are going to tell us that we're full of beans or even worse. They misunderstand. They don't comprehend. They will react in various ways to those who seek to live in genuine righteousness with humility and grace. And I underscore humility and grace. You'll hear things like, this is a mild version, just to give you a mild version. Well, who do you think you're a goody two-shoes? Or they'll call you a goody two-shoes. Or they'll begin to say, you think you're better than me, or you're better than others, or you're more special, or whatever. You get the idea. They'll try to push back because they feel threatened, they feel insecure, they don't like the different person that we are, and they misunderstand what it means to let Christ's righteousness live through us. And we do that with humility and grace. We may receive mild forms of verbal and emotional and mental abuse from unfortunate, misunderstanding, misguided persons. And they may be even family, they might be friends, or they might just be acquaintances. Did you know that in some places in the world, people are receiving physical abuse because of their identity in Christ? In fact, more people today, in this century, are being persecuted for their faith in Christ than at any other time in the world. We normally think, well, the first century Christians were persecuted heavily, and they were. But more people, because we have 7 to 8 billion people in the world today, but we have 1 billion who are followers of Christ, and many of those, there's 100 million evangelical, born-again believers in communist China living in an underground church, and you telling me they are suffering persecution. And that's just one nation. More people today. So we're not alone. I remember our good friend who's gone to be with the Lord, Wolfgang Müller, who was always seeking to have us pray for the persecuted church around the world, in Russia and China and India and Africa and all of the other places, and even America. Absolutely, in America. Wake up, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, keep your heart full of God's Word and full of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. We will be persecuted. Because of righteousness. Here's the second reason we're persecuted. Because of me. Jesus said, blessed are you when people say these things about you. They accuse you falsely of all manner of evil things. They verbally abuse you. And they do it all because of me. What does he mean by that? He means because we are projecting, or at least we're representing, that we belong to Jesus Christ. And the reason we're living, the reason we have the values we have, the reason we make the choices we have, the reason we deny some things, the reason we accept some things, the reason we serve, and the reason we try to testify and evangelize is because of Jesus, Jesus Christ. The reason we want to worship, the reason we carry ourselves in a certain way in our workplace, in our homes, and among our social circles is because of Jesus Christ. And some people will not like that. And especially if we openly identify ourselves as Christ followers. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian who believes in Jesus Christ, saved by the blood of Christ, believed in the Word of God. People, that will enrage some people more. If we just keep quiet about Christ and we say, you know, I'm trying to live a good life. I'm trying to be good to my fellow man. I'm trying to live peacefully with all others on earth. People will let you slide by, not receive much pushback. But when we identify with Christ, Katie barred the door, so to speak. Lots of people do not want to hear the word Jesus Christ. They're offended. When others who are belligerent or even hostile to the faith that we express and the spiritual matters that we live by, they discover that our striving to live righteously is because of our saving love relationship with Jesus Christ, they are in some cases even more enraged. Because it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Who do we think we are? Jesus freaks. I used to, back in the 60s, when people were coming to Christ in great numbers, there was a revival, especially among the hippie movement. People were calling Christians Jesus freaks. See, this rage, here's the key though. Listen to this carefully. Here's what I want you to get. This rage against Christ that's reflected and absorbed into us, this attack on us and the persecution we endure, has nothing to do with us personally. It's because of Christ. It's an attack truly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture that Paul says talks about, if they're persecuting, Paul says they persecute me, they're really persecuting Christ. They're persecuting the Jesus in me. It is personal against the name and the person of Jesus. Therefore, we don't have to take persecution personally, really. I know it's hard. I know if someone, you know, they want to throw a rock at Jesus and it hits us because we possess Christ and reflect Him, it's still going to hurt and we're still going to bleed. It's going to break our skin, but really it's directed toward Him. In fact, here's the deal. Because of this reality, we can in fact glory to God and to Jesus because our lives are being so identified with His that people are actually attacking us and we're experiencing the persecution. Jesus made that point in the scripture when He said, think of the prophets before you. He's telling His disciples, think of the prophets before you. All of those prophets of God came under severe persecution, most of them. Because why? Because they were seeking to draw people back to God. They were pronouncing a judgment on the sins and disobedience of the people of God because they had turned away from God. They were seeking to lead the leaders of the country to follow the will of God in behalf for the sake of the people of God. And even though they were hundreds of years before the birth of the Messiah, they were prophesying about a coming Messiah and about faith and trust and belief in and patience for the actual arrival of that Messiah. And as a result, they were persecuted. Those prophets were hated. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Obadiah, I could go through all of them. Even Isaiah. They were persecuted. And Jesus says, when you're being persecuted for my sake and in my name, for my righteousness living through your life, you are in company with the prophets of God. He said they persecuted them who were before you, and now they're persecuting you. And they'll persecute those after you who seek to follow Christ. When we are persecuted because of Jesus, because we're seeking to be a testimony to Jesus Christ, truly we're an exalted company. Now, we don't strive to be an exalted company. That's not the point. The point is the blessedness we can take comfort in, the blessedness, because we're being identified not only with the prophets who were persecuted because they spoke the truth of God and they sought to bring God to the people, we also are identified with the person of Jesus Christ. Now, this blessedness and this sense of good company must never be an excuse or provide motivation for being obnoxious. I just want to go to that vein again. We're never to be uncoming in our testimony or irreverent or dishonorable or engage in despicable behavior or be belligerent ourselves in our witness and living out our lives. Remember the other Beatitudes? Be merciful, peacemaker, pure in heart, meek, and humble like our Savior. All of us have known some Christians who are extremely obnoxious. They were just in your face. They were always up there. Some of these folks, they mean well, but they don't have the sense that God gave a goose. And they discredit and even bring shame on the Christian life and dishonor to our Savior. We're not going to be like that. We're going to live out our righteousness in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, And any persecution comes, we're going to speak truth in love. It's because of Jesus in us. If people hurl different things our way. Now I want to leave in this passage with one. I'm going to shift over to Paul's writing to the Ephesian church. One key spiritual truth to remember and a key spiritual instruction that we must apply in respect to facing persecution. This is a very important theological truth that helps us have perspective in respect to the persecution we're going to receive. Okay, so remember this. If you have your Bible, and remember I'm using the NIV, you've turned to Ephesians, the last chapter, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Some things we need are a theological truth, a spiritual reality, and Paul's admonition and instruction. Listen, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Okay, we guys, just take that personally. Be strong in Him. Stay strong in Christ and in His mighty power. The power that we have in Christ is the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Here's the instruction. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And here's the theological, the spiritual principle and truth. For our struggle in this world, that's what Paul means, our struggle while we're here on earth, seeking to live out our Christian life and be the church of Jesus Christ and carry on His commission and be a witness for Him and live before others as a testimony to His saving grace in us. Our struggle in that is not against flesh and blood. It's not really against other people. It's not against society. It's not against government. What is it against? It's against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, that's a lot that I probably shouldn't even introduce because it needs unpacking to help us understand. But let me just see if I can make it simple just for this occasion and this message. The struggle that we face, the conflict that we experience or engages us, the source of that conflict is spiritual. It's manifested in physical activity, words and behavior and actions against us, but its origin is evil and spiritual and demonic. It comes from the devil himself, who's seeking to destroy everything that God has established. Now, he's already lost, but he's still fighting against us. And so we're in that fight, and it's a spiritual fight. And the devil is using rulers and powers and authorities and every kind of situation and circumstance to destroy our lives. That's his ultimate objective, to destroy us. He can't. But he can seek to inflict great harm. We have to remember that our conflict is not really against other people. It's a spiritual conflict. So we come into this conflict in declaring the name of Jesus Christ, strong in the Lord, staying strong in the Lord, and in the power of His Spirit. And so Paul says, here's what you're to do. Knowing that you're in a spiritual conflict from evil sources, demonic sources that are seeking to destroy everything that God cares about, you need to put on for yourself and protection and on the offensive of fighting against the spiritual forces in this spiritual conflict, put on what Paul calls the full armor of God. And he listed in detail. So many of you have heard this before. Let me just remind you. So he described it. The full armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and folks, we're in the day of evil. The day of evil is arrived. When the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. It's going to be hard to stand our ground. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with, here it is, the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Okay, I'm going to have to come back to these because I want you to understand what each of these means. The belt of truth. That's the first part of the armor of God, the belt of truth. The second, the breastplate of righteousness in place. Put on our breastplate. Have to come back to that. The breastplate of what? Righteousness. We've heard that before. I'm going to go into more detail on these next Sunday. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. That's what is on our feet. That's our boots. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Flaming darts of doubt, despair, destruction, death try to come against us. We have the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And the sword of the Spirit, now we're taking offensive weapon, not just protective armor, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And take the helmet salvation and the helmet of salvation. I forgot that one. Take the helmet of salvation so our head's protected. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And finally, the power that empowers all of this armor, pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying. For all the saints. And Paul said, pray also for me. We'll just take those up in a little more detail next Sunday. But I want you to know two things. One, most important. That whatever conflict or persecution we encounter in this life is from a spiritual, demonic spiritual source. So let's keep our eye on who the true enemy is. My enemy is not another person. Our enemy is not. It's whatever evil activity is inflicted upon Christianity or individual Christians, it's coming from a demonic, satanic source. And we have a defense against that. We have an offense against that. And we can overcome that because Jesus rose from the grave. And he's defeated sin and death. And so we have a armor, and we have offensive weapons, and we need to understand what those are. And we're already winners in the fight if we utilize what Christ has given us and the power that lives within us. So, concluding, when we come under persecution for our faith in Jesus Christ, it's because we're seeking to live a consistent, righteous life in a saving love relationship with Christ. And when that happens, we'll come as close as ever in our life to experiencing what Jesus experienced when he was on this earth. And that's a pretty awesome thought. There isn't any greater privilege and greater blessing than to literally be identified with Christ and to experience what Jesus himself went through. Can you imagine how awesome it is to be personally identified with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, but 3 days later rose again and ascended then to be with the Father in heaven and sends the Spirit to indwell you and me within. I want to conclude by singing a hymn that I hope you'll listen to. The words go right along with what I've been sharing with you today. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he till every foe is conquered and Christ is Lord. for Jesus the trumpet call obey, for through the mighty conflict in this his glorious day, ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise and danger with strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls our danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the victory that is in Jesus. Lord, I could sing that song too. It's one of my favorites. We'll sing it maybe next Sunday. But Lord, bless each person who's heard this message today. God, encourage them, strengthen them. I pray they're a follower of you, Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, the captain of their salvation, the restorer of their soul, the giver of eternal life, the sender of the Spirit, to be reborn, to live forever with you, and to be strong on this earth as a witness, as your church, as your bride, as your warriors in the faith, fighting a spiritual conflict, Lord, in which we need to have the full armor of God on every single day, with the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, and the belt of truth. Oh, Lord, I pray this for every single person who views and hears, and for all of our congregation, for all of the Church of Jesus Christ, as we face these coming days and months and weeks and years. May we know who we belong to, who our allegiance is for, and why we're in this conflict. And let us do it honorably to your glory, with power to overcome every obstacle, Father. Thank you for your encouragement, your strength, your comfort, your power in each of us today. May we be blessed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. God bless you. See you next Sunday.